Afternoon Truth Wins team. Right or wrong?
Right or wrong?
Oh, are you doing it right or are you doing it wrong? Well, we'll have to see, but...
That's an opinion.
Let's see what it's all about. But first we'll start off with prayer and then we'll see what's right or wrong.
Thank you, Father, for this day. This day is the day the Lord hath made, and it is well. For we call those things that be not as though they were, as Abraham. We are the children of faith through Abraham. We glorify you, Father, that your word permeates our being. Each and every moment of our life, we seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, your word and your spirit. They comfort us. In Jesus' name, the name above all names. Amen.
Amen. Well, we want to be sure we're doing it right, because when you do it wrong, usually things don't work out so well. We pretty much all know that. If you steal something and you get caught, that's doing something wrong, and then things aren't so good. So it's kind of like, what is going to make your life right or wrong? So let's go to our first scripture and see what God has to say about it.
It says in Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts."
Right, which is kind of interesting. I'm just out of kind of the clear blue. I talked about stealing something, but that's one of the ways I think a lot of people don't always get what God's saying, because God says, give and it'll be given unto you. Where most people think if they give something away, they're doing like general math. Like if you have four apples and you take away two apples, you end up with two apples. But in the quantum and in the God world, when you give away, he steps in.
It energizes
things, and you'll end up... Well, you might not end up exactly. Sometimes it's not. Like if you give two apples...
It's fold, so it means it could be more than enough.
Right, but it could also be... Because God knows, like he says, what you're thinking is not what I'm thinking. And you may give two apples to your neighbor, and your neighbor goes, oh, well, my orange tree... is just ripening, and here you can have four oranges. So God's ways aren't your ways, but we do know we can read the Bible. It says, give and it shall be given unto you. So we know that's what's going to happen. It's not always the person you give to that gives back, and it's not always exactly the same, but God just knows what we all need and gets it to us. That's the exciting part. So the right way is to let God have control and do what he says, and know that it'll work out. The wrong way is to try to go jump over your neighbor's fence and steal the oranges. That's not the way to do it.
Right, that's the wages of death.
Anyway, so we'll go to the next verse.
It says in Mark 11, 22, 24, Jesus replied, "Have faith in God constantly. I assure you, and most solemnly say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart in God's unlimited power, but believes that what he says is going to take place, it will be done for him in accordance with God's will. For this reason, I am telling you, whatever things you ask for in prayer, in accordance with God's will, believe with confidence and trust that you have received them and they will be given to you."
I like the part where it says, "For this reason I'm telling you." So this is not just some casual thing that Jesus is saying. He's being emphatic. This is the reason why I'm telling you. So it's like if you have a child and you're telling them don't go in the street, you're giving them a reason. There's a reason, because cars are there and it's not the place to be. But he's giving you a positive thing as well. Ask and you receive what you ask for, if it's in God's will. And how will you know it's in God's will?
Because you know the word, and
right,
you're listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. You have to build a relationship with the Holy Spirit so that you know his voice. And it says in the word that If you know the word, if you know his voice, you know God.
Right, and so then you know exactly what to do. So let's see what else we can learn today.
2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Right, and I think that's something so important to have. We have a sound mind. And so if you have a sound mind, you don't do crazy things. It might look crazy to the world, but you'll know, no, this is what I should be doing. This is the right thing, and I will do the right thing. So that's what we want to do, is have a sound mind.
That's what I said. Seek first the kingdom of God.
Right. So let's go on to our next one and see what it says. Right. So how do we resist the devil?
Well, keeping the word of God in, you know, like in Joshua 1:8, don't let the word of God depart from your eyes. And also keep in contact. I find that being able to communicate with God through his tongues, through tongues, I do that all the time. I do it walking and I praying to God at all times. And that gives you it puts you in the spirit realm. Well, it causes you to stay in the spirit realm.
Well, I was thinking kind of a different avenue, but that's an avenue too. There's lots of avenues. I think really a lot of way to resist the devil is when you have a thought, like think it and go, oh, is this what God would be saying to me? What Jesus would be saying? Is this his will? And capture the thought.
Well, you would recognize right away. If it's something that's evil, then you shut it down.
No, but what I'm saying is you do as Jesus did. You talk back to it. Because like the devil said, turn these rocks into bread. And Jesus answered, it is written. So you can do the same thing. It's written.
Everything is talking to us. Everything. Right. Every fleshy thing is talking to us. Like when Jesus walked by and the fig tree didn't have any fruit on it. Just telling him, screw you, Jesus. I'm not going to give you anything. And Jesus said, well, no will ever eat fruit of you ever again. And it died. The next day when they walked by, it was dying from the roots up.
Well, but to do the right way, I want to kind of go more to the positive. Like, so Satan says to you, you can't pay your bill. And you do the right confession. God will supply all my needs. And you know, you've brought your tithes to the church and you put it down. Because what do? We always put on the whole armor of God. That's how we resist the devil.
We got to put on that?
Armor. Yeah.
Our loins are girded with truth. We have the breastplate of righteousness. Our feet are shod with the preparation of gospel of peace. We have the helmet of salvation. We have the shield of faith that quenches all the fiery darts. And we have the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, that discerns between the marrow and the bone and the soul and the spirit.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. You use your word, the right word, and that's your sword that resists the devil. So let's see what else we have.
It says in Matthew 8:16-17. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. And he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. And the dictionary says infirmities is of poor or deteriorated vitality especially. Feeble from age, weak in mind or will or character, nor solid or stable.
Right. And to me, this is like one of the most powerful verses like in the New Testament, because it's confirming Isaiah 53 has been accomplished, which I always find it interesting because God's ways are not our ways. So it's harder a lot of times for people to understand what Isaiah said in Isaiah 53, the entire part is done. Like people want to, I know a lot of people want to selectively say, oh, well, he died, we have salvation, but we don't really have healing necessarily. And in that verse, we'll skip back up to the verse to let you see it one more time. And it says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. And so it's saying he healed all. And not only did he heal all, he did what he commands us to do in your favorite verse, Mark.
Mark 16, 15 through 19.
Right, where you cast out demons.
And yeah, you cast out demons, lay hands on the sick.
And they all recover.
And
so it didn't say part of them, but you have to be right or wrong, really, in your confession and where you stand. Because you do find people saying, oh, well, you know, some people aren't healed, but that's not, he healed them all.
He healed, the other already healed. They were healed 2,000 years ago.
When he died. Before they were born. But the part that they seem to want to do in that Isaiah part is, he was wounded for our transgression. So our sins are taken care of. Yeah, oh yeah. But is everybody born again? No. Does that mean everybody couldn't be born again? No. Does it mean it's God's will not to have everybody born again? No. But we have to have right and wrong speaking, because we look at that verse. We're going to kind of go back to this verse, because I think what happened was I was studying to figure out what I could do to help you, the viewer, and then it ended up helping me, because you hear the word and it does help you. So we'll go back. How did he get rid of the spirits? With a word.
With a word. The word of God is what
right,
it
and
said.
He also spoke over the people. We can, if you go read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, you'll see that how he healed people. He said words to them that caused it to come into existence. He might say, be well, be healed, or he might say, your faith made you well. But it's a word that does it. But the other part I like is I would be considered a senior citizen at this point, since I'm over 70. So I like the part about infirmities, because I am in a club where a lot of people are even older than me, and everybody wants to listen to science and say, oh, I'm having a senior moment, or I have la la la, because, you know, your body has to deteriorate. Right. But if we look,
which is a lie.
But if we look back to the verse, it says, and he bore our, well, he himself took your, are, but it's your infirmities. And your infirmity means the feebleness or weakness of mind, or you've lost your vitality because you're old. He already took care of that. You don't need to do it.
Yeah, Jesus,
you don't need,
it doesn't mean on the cross.
It doesn't mean we don't age, because we do, but we don't have to be feeble, because we know when
we know that people in the beginning, Adam lived almost 1,000 years. So obviously their body had a way of replenishing itself, and we do too, but we keep saying what the world says instead of what the word says.
Right. Well, I like it when they left with Moses and they went through the Red Sea. It says in Exodus that there were not one feeble among the tribe. So it's saying what this verse is, Jesus takes our feebleness. It doesn't mean you're not maybe older, but you don't have to be feeble because you're old. You just need to exercise and say,
we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord.
The right word. So I think this verse is a verse that you should maybe memorize, and then you'll know, you'll have a strong mind. You'll be able to think. There's nothing such as a senior moment. You realize as a senior, see, I realize it. As a senior, you've lived not 5 years like your grandchild that may remember things. You've lived 70 years. It's not that you can't remember. If you just stop and think, it's almost like a computer is going, woo, 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 like trying to find that section because you haven't used it for a while. And then it pops up. So if you really just give yourself time, I think you'll find your mind is completely fine. It's just sorting through all the data and then it pops up. Like say you're trying to remember an actor you saw like 20 years ago, but you hadn't thought of them for 20 years. So you have to go dig deep and let your brain kind of find that after you go, oh, I remember him. He was in Rockford File. Jim.
Garner.
Yeah, James Garner. Right.
James Garner.
Right. And so then it pops up. So you kind of have to let that happen, because, and you have to say, Jesus took my infirmities. So you don't have them. He already took them.
Yeah, we don't need to be aging like the rest of the world. We're Christians. We need to live. It says in Genesis 6:3, I believe. You can verify that. It says the age of man is 120. So really the minimum age that man should be is 120.
No, it's not minimum. Minimum 70.
No, I don't think it's... I think the minimum is 20. You're just saying in 70 is when the Israelis...
No, he said...
The Israelis were in the 40 years and they said they all those die under 70.
No, that's not what 70. That's not what I'm thinking of. Everybody should live at least to 70. That's the minimum. Okay,
but I'm saying people as an average should live to 120.
Right, they all can do. But the minimum, you should never die before 70. 70 is the minimum. God promised us 70 years, everybody. And then we shouldn't be feeble. We shouldn't have infirmities. Right.
We don't need to agree with the world, what it says. Like so, Jesus didn't agree with the fig tree. And so, the world keeps trying to tell us that we're old, but we're not old.
Well, let's see what it says.
We're grown people.
Let's see what the word says. Right, so there we have what he's given besides other things. So that goes back to having what infirmities are. He took them. We won't be feeble-minded.
Right.
We don't have to have that problem. He said,
you know, Alzheimer's doesn't exist. It shouldn't exist.
Well, if it does, we should be able to lay hands. That's
people's laying into it. It's not true.
We should be able to lay hands on the sick.
Hands on the sick and they shall recover.
And then to keep your healing, then we have to have right confession. So as we know, we've heard and probably told you many times, like you get healed, and you go to do something and you feel a pain and then you have your choice to make. What are you going to say, right or wrong? Are you going to say, no, devil, get your hands off me, yeah, I'm healed? Or you're going to go, oh my gosh, it came back again.
The little foxes spoil the vine. People do it as a, you know, they just say it. They're not agreeing with God. They're agreeing with the devil.
Well, I don't even think they're doing that. I think
they're agreeing with the devil, really.
Right, but I think they're just whining because I think...
Well, that's another deal for the devil. The devil wants us to whine.
But you have a pain, and then instead of saying resist it and conquer it, you go, oh,
says you
whatever.
Resist him, he will flee. So the pain has to flee. It has no power. It's just you giving it power.
Right. So we're thankful. We're going to say this year, well, forever, the rest of your life.
And I'm living to 123.
So you
and a half.
You realize that
I confess that today and every day.
So, but what I'm saying is, they can confess that Jesus took your infirmities and bare your sicknesses, so you don't have them. He took care of it. All the rest Amen. Of your life, you every morning when you get up, no matter what you feel, because we don't go by what we feel, we go by word of God. Because it says God ways are not man's ways. That's what we started with.
We also find scriptures like, "My youth is renewed like the wings of an eagle."
Right, but
that's Proverbs 107, I believe, or 103.
But our first scripture, it says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways," said the Lord. And so our ways, it's a human, not necessarily my ways, but humans' ways are when they feel something to go, oh my gosh. If you sneeze, you go, oh my gosh, I'm catching something, oh whatever. Or you resist the devil and do it the right way,
which
is
God's
way.
And you say the word of God, I'm healed by the healing.
I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. So we know that's what you're going to be doing because you're so intelligent, all of you.
Amen.
You have the mind of Christ. That's why you're so intelligent. Because he knows it all. So we're going to say, what are we going to say? Farewell.
Truth wins.
Auf Wiedersehen. Goodbye.
Truth wins.
That's from
We're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord.
Yes, and we look forward to seeing you again next week with another exciting lesson that will make your life prosperous and healthy and whole. In Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Have a great day, and we'll see you soon.